I once made a chance remark to my Uncle Silas that had the remarkable effect of making him turn quite pale. I was going by Castle Hannock yesterday. I started to say, God Almighty, boy, don't mention that there place to me. God Almighty, it fair curdles me. I had a terrible narrow squeak there. I thought I detected in this the beginnings of some ill-timed amorous adventure, but I was mistaken. Poaching, he said. Well, I'd been a poaching, we'll say that. No denying that. Got a couple of brace of pheasants on fish hooks and raisins. Nothing much. That never worried me. It were what happened afterwards, what been here cooked me.
He then began to describe for my benefit, as if I had never seen it before, the house at Castle Hannock and its surroundings. It is one of those great mansions that stand splendidly on the escarpment of the middle flowery reaches of the River Ouse, overlooking the river twisting on its many turns across the reedy meadows below. You were saying you were poaching?
So I were. One October morning. Been at it all night and just nipping back home. Got the pheasants in a sack with about 100 weight of watercresses atop on 'em.
That morning, my Uncle Silas skirted a bed of osiers by the brook, and worked his way southward across the park, taking advantage of the coverts just as day was breaking. He was feeling pretty cocksure, safe and pleased with himself, when, as he hopped over a stile at the end of an avenue of big, straggling rhododendrons, a man popped up out of the bushes and barred his way with a 6-foot ash pole.
Oh, I never more surprised in my life. It fair took the wind out on me.
Keeper?
Oh, no. Oh, no, no such thing. It were him myself, eldest son, the young Saint John Featherstone. Well, I say young. Man about 60, I should say. Face like a bloodhound out of sorts. My men, he says, what have you got in that there bag, my man, eh? So I says, watercresses, sir, only watercresses. And then he cackled like a gander and said, oh, so it's only watercresses, is it? It's only watercresses. In that there case, he says, in that there case, my man, I suppose they have feathers on. And I looked down and I'll be damned if there weren't a pheasant feather sticking out of an hole in the sack.
You were cooked, I said. My Uncle Silas, ignoring this, went on with his imitation of the English aristocracy.
My man, he says, my man, you've been a-poaching. I know, you've been a-poaching. And in that there case, my man, and in that there case, you'll have the goodness to come up to the house with me. Oh, I just recollected one more thing as happened when we went up to the house. Funny thing, I don't know what made me do it, but I spotted a jay's feather as it dropped on a blackberry bush, and I picked it up as we went by and put it in me cap, stuck it in a one side. Anyhow, we got to the house, and the old bird locked me up in a room. Oh, there about an hour, and I thought he'd gone for old Bill Ballard, the policeman. Course, I knowed Bill well. Yeah, we were hand in glove most of the time.
Soon after the hour was up, there was a rattling of a key in the lock, and the door opened. And in came, to my Uncle Silas's considerable surprise, the cook.
Girl named M. Pack. She hadn't been there very long. Very particular sort of girl. Bit miserable. Chapel.
"Your breakfast is ready,"
she said.
"You'd better come and eat it while you can."
He followed her into the kitchen, where she put before him a plate of bacon and 2 eggs.
"You can have 3 if you like,"
she said.
"Or 4, or 5, or 6, I don't care. I'm leaving tomorrow anyway."
Then she started horse-facing at me. Said I ought to know better, poaching and trespassing on other people's property. Said it'd serve me right when I went up there. I didn't know what she meant by up there at the time,
my Uncle Silas said.
So I asked her why she were leaving.
Never you mind,
she said.
You'll see, when you get up there, when she gets hold on you.
If there was any prospect from which my Uncle Silas did not shrink, it was that of being got hold of by a woman, and he ate his eggs and bacon calmly to the end. Presently he was going upstairs, cap in hand, with the young St. John Featherstone, the ailing, drooping bloodhound.
"My sister will see you now," the drooping bloodhound said. "It is her place to deal with you."
A moment or two later, the old bloodhound knocked on a door, opened it, and ushered my Uncle Silas into a room.
"And there she were, this here female."
The word female is, at this point, a most important one. My Uncle Silas referred to the opposite sex, generally, in four main categories. Girls, old girls, women, and females. Beyond doubt, the strongest, most astringent, most scornful and devastating of these words was female. Females were the tart ones, the dry-lipped ones, the chapel ones, the vinegar and starch ones, the horse faces.
"God Almighty," he said, "there she sat, like a white toad. Well, not real white, mocky white, but just like a toad. There she were a-sitting in a big four-poster, like an old white toad."
Her mouth, he said, was wide and drooping, the upper lip thick and overhanging the other like an eave. The flesh of the neck was deeply baggy, hanging like a dewlap, pulsating slowly and sloppily up and down as she breathed. Over the eyes hung thick toad-like lids, creased and drowsy. The eyes themselves bulged and dropsical. Most of the time the mouth hung open, revealing long, yellowish teeth and a pallid, panting tongue.
"Come here. Come closer. What is your name? You've been stealing watercress,"
she said.
"Well, only a morsel, madam," Silas said.
"Are you married?"
No, madam."
"Come closer to me, come closer."
He stood by the bed, the clothes of which he swore had not been changed since the Christmas afore last, at least, holding his cap before him in his hands.
"Come closer, let me look at you. We shall send you to prison for 6 months. You know that, don't you? The last one went to prison for 9 months. What is that in your cap? Let me see."
He lifted his cap, remembering the jay's feather he'd stuck in it, and before he knew what was happening, she'd snatched the cap with a cackling croak of triumph from his hands.
"You may go now," she said. "You're on bail now. Tomorrow we shall see what we shall do with you, but you're on bail now. Your cap is your bail. What a pretty feather."
"Oh, now look here, madam. That's damn near a new cap."
"Is it? Is it? So much the better."
Cackling again, she put the cap under the bedclothes.
"Now your bail is locked up," she said. "Tomorrow morning you must surrender to your bail. Tomorrow morning we shall decide what we shall do with you."
"Well, I were back next morning, and she were as sweet as a sugar ball. Couldn't have had nobody sweeter. That's how women are. Just like blamed old toads one day, a-croaking and an horse facing at you, and the next morning, as sweet as summering apples, deering and a-fussing on you. She deered and fussed on me for damn near a fortnight. First it were I'd had me breakfast, and then were a-tired, and would a-like a glass of beer. And then it were, if there anything I wanted, I'd only got to say the word."
"Crazy," I said.
"Poor girl," he said.
He shook his head several times, giving what I thought was a slight shudder.
"Well, there were no sense in not humouring on her, so there I were, nearly every morning up there asking her for me cap, and she a-pretending she hadn't made up her mind whether to prosecute me or not. Then, One day I had a grave to dig up at the churchyard, and I never turned up.
Trouble, I said.
Never such a going on in your life. She started horse-facing and a-tooning and a-bawling, and I don't know what. Madam, I told her, I'll run a-digging a grave, and folks got to be buried, ain't they?
Dig mine! Dig mine! Dig mine! Go away now, I beg you, and dig mine!
Well, it was somewhat cruel. It turned your heart over. I'd had about enough. So I said, Madam, I ain't coming up here no more. Either give me my cap or put me in clink. I don't care which you do, but I ain't a-traipsing up here no longer.
The intensely black, haunting eyes looked at him.
Come back tonight. I've put it away, but I'll find it by tonight. Come at 7 and I'll give it back to you.
He'd never seen her by night before, and that evening, when he came up to her, only a candle was burning in a single brass stick by the bedside, and she was lying down in the bed. She brushed her white hair until it lay loose on her shoulders.
Where's my cap, madam? I've got to get back to fill this here grave.
She turned and fixed him with the haunting eyes.
It's here in my bed. Come and find it with me.
Well, I've been up to some capers in me time, but I'll draw the line at that one. Clink or no clink, I started for the door, sharpish and all.
He'd hardly reached the door before he heard her shrieking. A second later he turned and saw that she'd leapt from the bed.
There she were, starved naked, with a double-barrel gun in her hands.
I'll shoot you if you don't stay with me, she said.
She put the gun up to her scraggy, naked shoulder and aimed it straight at his face.
I'll shoot! I will! I'll shoot!
Well, I knowed I were damn near cooked then. Lucky I'd got another hat with me. Old deerstalker I used to wear at winter times. All right, I says, you put the gun down, and I'll stay along on you for a minute or two. So she put the gun down, and half a jiff later, I throwed the deerstalker at the candle.
She fired both barrels at him in the darkness. He dived for the door, and the last he heard of her as he half fell downstairs was,
Dig mine! Dig mine! It's time to dig mine!
He paused, and I thought once again that his gills showed the faintest sign of pallor.
Not long after that they took her away, poor girl. She'd been away afore, but I never knowed.
Dead now?
Dead now.
He shook his head, looking far away from me. Did you ever get your cap back? I said.
No, but she left me a little summat in her will.
He paused a little longer this time, and then, very slowly, he put his hand in his waistcoat pocket.
Come in an envelope with a big wax seal on it. I always carry it with me.
In his hand lay a pretty bright blue feather.
Terrible mocking sort of bird. I always think the jade.